Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with journalist Aaron Schrody. Before we get to your incident, just what was your first impressions out there?
So, I work with a friend of mine, a filmmaker named Josh Fox, and Josh and I, on Sunday night, I guess so, just a little more than a week ago, interviewed these two people, Fleurice and Mikasi. And Fleurice is a 34-year-old woman from Standing Rock, native. And that was absolutely unbelievable, the truest of the words, to hear from her lips the experiences of being arrested, ripped out of prayer circle, thrown into dog kennels, seeing people beaten, seeing elders taken from their sweat lodges, being teepees opened with the ends of assault rifles, just the violence against the peaceful, prayerful people. So before I even set foot on the land, to hear from these two people, firsthand experiences that were so different than that which I've been reading in the media. I do follow, you know, environmental media, indigenous media, niche media that was giving it some attention. But I was shocked. So when we arrived to see this camp, I mean, it was really beautiful. The energy there, you come in and there's the tribes flags, over 300 different nations that have come to represent, not just the 300 flags from tribal nations, from other countries, from communities, the solidarity there in this camp, people who have come to stand with our Native brothers and sisters. And we didn't know exactly what was going to happen, but we felt called to be there. We were humbled to be able to share the stories. Josh did a video about Fleurice, which has now peaked over 23 million views, which is just an amazing portrait of this woman. I wrote a profile on her for Glamour magazine, and so we had these dear friends who introduced us, and a number of other people, organizers, activists that had been on the ground there for months, Native and non-Native, and we immediately felt so welcomed, you know, to be able to tell these stories with integrity, to be able to amplify for maximum attention and action is a gift, but, you know, a responsibility we take very seriously.
You did some reporting yourself, and then you went to do some Facebook Live reporting, my understanding is, and first of all, describe what happened with your particular incident.
Yeah, so there was a nonviolent direct action plan for Wednesday afternoon, wherein some of the water protectors were going to cross a small river to hold a prayer circle on their sacred ground on the other side. And in doing so, we're met with a full line of militarized police armed with assault rifles, with cans of pepper spray, the pollen.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so there was a nonviolent direct action plan. They crossed. And I was on the near shore recording, interviewing a man, asking him what was going on, very simply. And when all of a sudden I felt a devastating blow to my lower back, whipped my head around and saw that there were two police boats very, very close to the shore right there, and one had fired a rubber bullet. Now, I cannot be more clear in saying this was a 100% nonviolent action. There was no aggression. There was no provocation. There were no words exchanged between the police and those of us on the near bank. It was the bank to which they were asking the water protectors to retreat, despite the fact that this is all Army Corps of Engineer, public land, and I doubled over in pain. Josh was right there with the camera, as was Jordan from the Young Turks. It was a very startling moment to realize that I had just been shot by the police, but this is not about me. Yes, they shot a innocent female white reporter. That fact is not lost on me, but the bravery of the water protectors, the power of the nonviolent action, the people literally putting their lives on the line to defend the sacred, to defend our future, to protect our climate, is inspiring.
Well, how did you get shot? Did they just open fire on people, or did you provoke it? How in the world did you get shot, I guess?
No, I did not provoke it. I received quite a lot of pushback across social media. Josh posted some clips, and I posted stills from him, and spoke about the incident because I knew that it was going to get out. And people said, well, clearly you were violent. Clearly you did something to ask for it. If you were a half-decent reporter, you'd have proof. And I, the next morning, was going through a video on my phone and realized that, I mean, I watched myself be shot live on camera, which is an experience I would wish on no one. I went into hysterics. I inadvertently filmed myself when the police fired at me with a rubber bullet. And that was something I chose to put out, not to call any more attention to myself, but to just highlight this indiscriminate use of excessive force.
But you realize you are part of the story now, right?
Oh, I do. I fully realize that I'm a part of the story. And now the police are categorically denying I was shot on multiple accounts. Different media has reached out. The lieutenant, the sheriff, the press department, the release all say that I was not, which is a problem in and of itself. If you have fully militarized armed police firing rubber bullets out of grenade launchers that they don't even know have been dispensed. Rubber bullets, for every 90 rubber bullets fired, two people end up dead. 18 are permanently maimed and 44 are require a hospital treatment. So they call this less lethal force, which I find highly ironic. But it was the only bullet, mace, pepper spray of any sort fired on our bank. There was one other boy, young boy, who was shot at closer range without wearing a puffy jacket. He's in a bad way. It's dangerous. There is absolutely no cause for any such violence, any such hostile response to this peaceful, prayerful people. I am grateful that no one has been killed, that this hasn't escalated. I'm grateful no one was arrested after the 141 brutal arrests of last week. But I will do everything I can to use my voice to shine light on this, because what is happening there is horrific. It's traumatic. It's traumatic for me, but I don't have the historic trauma that's compounded on top of that. And I really hoped that people continue to pressure our leaders, our president, our Department of Justice, our Army Corps of Engineers, and the government of North Dakota to stop this pipeline, not just to reroute it, but to stop it from being put in the ground altogether.
So, well, first of all, Brandon Lee, Bruce Lee's son, he died from a rubber bullet. He took one to the abdomen during the filming of The Crow. So, yeah, there is actually even a pop culture history to deaths and rubber bullets. Wanted to transition to kind of the bigger picture here, in my opinion, is the public officials. Describe to me your relationship with the public officials and what's been going on there, even from before or after the shooting.
I've had absolutely no exchange with the police. I went there knowing that there was a presence of law enforcement who, in my opinion, are there to protect. That was clearly not the case. The first time I saw any law enforcement was there on the other shore, pepper spraying and macing my brothers and sisters, pepper spraying and macing these brave water protectors. I did not exchange a word with them. I was never in close proximity to them, and then these officers fired at me from a boat. I did not have any exchange. They didn't acknowledge the fact that they had just hit me. They stayed in their boats until their boats left.
To listen to the full-length interview with journalist Aaron Schrody, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
My name is Otis, and I'm the host of Kids in Capitalism. I would like to take this time to talk to you about Hatch Realty. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. If you are looking to buy or sell a home, you need to give Hatch Realty a call today. Hatch Realty is the number one real estate team in North Dakota, according to the Wall Street Journal. and is featured in Inc. Magazine's 5,000 Fastest Growing Private Companies in America. Eric Hatch has been endorsed by Barbara Corcoran from the hit show Shark Tank. He was voted Best Real Estate Agent by the firm of Fargo Moorhead, is an Alumni Association Horizon Award winner from North Dakota State University, and the host of Real Estate Radio. When buying or selling real estate, there is only one company to call, and that's Hatch Realty. Hatch Realty, in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Give Eric Hatch and Hatch Realty a call today at 701-212-1572. Again, that's 701-212-1572. Or check them out online at livefargomoorhead.com. Again, that's livefargomoorhead.com. Hatch Realty, in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate.
A perfect winter getaway is waiting for you in the Black Hills. The Lodge at Deadwood Gaming Resort offers luxurious guest rooms, first-class casual fine dining, and the largest convention facility in the area. Recently voted best casino, hotel, and restaurant in the Black Hills, the Lodge at Deadwood has everything you need for the perfect winter getaway. Skiing and snowmobiling are located just minutes from the Lodge. Or ask about gaming and spa packages. Elevate your experience. Visit DeadwoodLodge.com, Deadwood's newest legend.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
The oil and gas industry is coming back, and you need a source to keep up to date on the industry. Check out Oil Man, the magazine for leaders in the American energy industry. Each issue gives you a competitive edge with the latest oil and gas news. In addition to the news and analysis, the Oil Man brings you exciting features, publishes photos from yesteryear that chronicle the history of the oil and gas industry. Visit oilman.com to learn more and subscribe today. That's theoilman.com.